If what you want is real, Relevant Hunting, you are in the right place. With moderator Josh Miller, owner of Triple Point Outdoors, co-host Kevin Cook, owner of the Outdoor Pro Shop, and Brian Keitlinger, athlete and creator of Left in the Field Outdoors. Welcome to the Reinvent the Hunt podcast.
All right, everybody, I want to welcome ready to episode 3 of the Reinvent the Hunt podcast. I'm Josh Miller, Triple Point Outdoors. Tonight we have a pretty awesome program on. We have the usual suspects, Kevin Cook over there, and Brian, Pennsylvania. And we have Justin and Zach from the Creek Kings Outdoors here in Columbus, Ohio on, and we're real happy to have you guys. Can't wait to hear your stories and kind of what got you into hunting and what's going on in your life.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
What
got you guys into the sport, first of all, and like, have you always been in Columbus, Ohio, and like, how this evolved?
Well, Justin and I, just to give you kind of the short version of it, Justin and I, we grew up together. He's my cousin. So we actually didn't grow up in a hunting family. Like, hunting culture was not really relevant in our lives. You know, Justin's, you know, his dad's side, they kind of dabble in it a little bit. But for me, like, hunting was something totally brand new for me. My parents moved to like this country / rural area while I was in high school. And a lot of my buddies from my new school were doing it. So I kind of just wanted to try it out. And I had some land. So really, that's where I got my first taste of it. I'll let Justin kind of share how he first started. But
yeah, I mean, I grew up around it. Both my brother-in-laws hunt. My dad used to trap, but as far as whitetail hunting, bow hunting, whitetail hunting, that was something that was foreign to me until I was 13 or 14. And my dad got me a bow and he said, I want you, if you're interested, to pick up archery. And if you really like it, then maybe move into hunting. And I picked it up. I absolutely loved it. And from there, I mean, it's all history from now.
It's crazy how much it, you know, you pick it, like myself, same way, guys. I, as high school, like, you know, what reading bow hunter magazines, what with my whitetail and the library. And I told the story a little bit ago, but my first bow was like a, I think, Barnett crossbow at one bolt. And it's the biggest buck of my life, sitting on a glacial rock, my parents' farm in Kilbrook, Ohio. And I was like, from that moment on, I can go back and replay it in my head. I was hooked. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's easy. Once you get that first taste of it, I mean, it really just grabs you from the soul. And it's like, it seems like it's always the first experience. Like, whether or not you have a good first couple experiences, I'd say, really determines on your outlook. Like, there's so many people that'll go and they aren't really serious about it, or their dad or their grandpa is kind of a douche about it and is like super serious, and you're like 6 years old and you're making noise walking through the woods.
Right.
It can really hook people, but I feel like at the same time that can turn people away for the rest of their lives too.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, Brian and Kevin, what, you guys have some questions for these guys? I know we've all been kind of anticipating having you on and just about 1,000 questions, but what do you guys think over there?
Well, I know my brother-in-law lives in Polaris, and I spend a lot of time down by his place. I go down and coach soccer and stuff, and there's not a place I drive by where there's parks and this and everything else, and I'm like,
yeah,
I'd love to hunt here. I'd love to hunt there. I'd love to hunt there.
Yep.
And, yeah. You know, but I mean, I spent a lot of time in Licking, Coshocton, and Knox County hunting around there. But I mean, every time I go down there, I'm like, you got to have some friends or buddies who have places where I can shack up or, you know, go somewhere. Cause I mean, you know, you're driving by a place, you're like, holy crap, there's 150 inch deer in that side yard of that subdivision, you know, and you can see a little lot back behind further back. But I mean, it's, you know, I'm really interested to hear more about, you know, the tactics and stuff and what you guys are able to do in, you know, in that type of situation.
Right. So if you guys haven't seen our YouTube channel, that's primarily where we started. We've been, I think what we started like 3 years ago, Justin, like almost 4 years ago now.
Yeah.
But we started off just kind of finding the big deer. And then over time, we've slowly began to realize that a lot of the big deer are in these urban areas. And the good thing about Columbus, which is where we're based out of, there's a lot of rural land and like a lot of subdivisions. There's not a lot of big land out there. You know, you don't really hear of anybody owning more than 50 acres. I mean, 50 acres is a ton of land anywhere close to Columbus. So there's a lot of things that have been subdivided and is getting even more so now. But what that creates is a really cool pocket of these giant whitetails that are in these urban areas and sometimes even suburban areas. And I wouldn't say Justin and I are strictly suburban hunters, but we definitely have found the big deer there, and we're going to go where the big deer are.
That's right. What I was going to say. We are big deer hunters, whether that requires us to be on a 300-acre farm, right, and we have to drive an hour to it, or whether or not we're hunting in somebody's backyard on a half acre. Like, where the big deer are, if we find them, we're gonna set up as long as it's legal. And that's a lot of, in the past couple of years, we've been a lot of urban, because we're developing a skill set more so with that, because it's like, once you like realize it and you see the density of deer in these areas and how big some of these deer are, I mean, it's absolutely crazy to like realize. You're like, I drive by this place every day to work, and you're like, wow, there's 190-inch deer just sitting in there.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, some misnomer too, because I do the same thing here around where I live, and I also hunt a lot of rural areas, of course, in Central Ohio. But it's I think people need to understand, it's a misnomer that these deer are dumb because they live in the city. You know what I'm saying?
I think I was
you
guys just about to say that.
So people out there need to understand, like, they are not dumb. They know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still deer. They still have deer tendencies. They're prey animals. They're not predator animals. So no matter what environment they're going to be in, they're very well adjusted. I would say, I wouldn't call them, you know, dumb. I would just call them a little bit more, well, adjusted to the area. You know, they're a little bit more comfortable with human interaction, but because they have so much human interaction, they're really good at figuring out if it's a threatening situation or not. And that's sure. that was our first experience. I remember I was hunting for this big buck. He's probably like almost pushing 180, like a big buck, triple split brows. And we picked up this small like 5-acre parcel in this area, and you know, there were people mowing the grass, and literally the same exact day, like the lot next door, like a booner walks out and gives me an opportunity. And those are the types of situations that you can't really see yourself in if you've only ever hunted like big ag country and stuff. But they're just really well aware of what's threatening, or like, he knows that mower is not a big deal, because you know, they get used to it. And that's definitely something to think about. But you know, if they smell somebody like in their bedding area, like, well, that's not normal, then that's a threatening situation to them. So it's really just kind of trying to blend in for the deer, but also for some of the neighbors, which is a big issue as well. Like, right, you don't want to stick out like a sore thumb to everyone in the neighborhood. You know, somebody might have an issue with it.
Yeah, I will say that my this year, I don't know if you guys saw, but my wife ended up harvesting a real big double drop pine that guys around here have been chasing for like 3.5 years, and you know, it got well known very quickly that she harvested it. Mm-hmm. But it was a very, I call it an urban deer, but it had like a 2-mile track it was running through. And I told her, I'm like, you know, people are going to realize you shot that deer real quickly, and it happened. It happens real quick.
Oh yeah.
Since you guys hunt both, you know, big pieces of property and urban, is there any tactics you do differently between the two?
It's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what we use for big ag country is completely different. Obviously, I'd say from property to property, like, you can have
right.
a 300-acre property that's built like this, and then 300-acre property that's built like this, and our tactics for it are going to be completely different, depending on whether there's natural food, natural bedding, where all that kind of lines up. But urban, I mean, it's tough. Like, you're hunting on sometimes 1 or 2 acres butted up together. Like, you get an acre here and an acre here, and it's like, well, it's a 50-acre piece split up by 70 properties. So it's like, our strategies for that a lot of the times is corn piles. And we catch some flack for that. But at the end of the day, everything we do is legal. We'll stand by it. And in these urban areas, I mean, these population needs controlled. There's been a few cities where there's been some giant deer taken out bordering it, where you can't hunt. And this year I've seen, I think, 2 or 3 different counties or cities. I'm not going to name them because we're going to be in them this year, that are opening up like a deer programs, because there's just so many deer hit by cars. And it's like the people are against deer hunting. And it's like, you can have your own opinion on it. That's fine. But it's like everybody has that opinion until they're trying to drive to work in their new 2024 Escalade. They total it because they hit a deer and they're like, well, you know, maybe it needs control.
Right. That's something that a lot of people don't realize. Like they don't realize that the population needs to be controlled. I mean, you can't just let it go.
Yeah. In rural areas, it kind of works its way out somewhat. Obviously, you still need hunting. But in these urban areas where there's practically no predators outside of humans, like you don't have a ton of coyotes running through, like there isn't a ton of natural predators and Columbus to these big deer. So it's like a lot of times the population just gets out of control. And that's kind of what we tell landowners. And it's like, hey, like these, you're going to end up hitting these deer because deer can only be so populated in one area because eventually a big old mature buck's going to come in and he's going to start pushing off all these other deer. And if you're in a 40, 50 acre total area, like there's not anywhere else for that deer to go. So he's going to have to travel and either get hit by a car or die of starvation or stay in the area and get disease because of how heavily dense the population is. And it's like, people don't really see it. They just say, oh no, I'm not interested. And that's fine. I mean, I'd just probably say the same thing.
Yeah. Well, the other thing people need to realize, especially in today's world with food costs so high, you know, clean protein. I mean, my goodness, venison's best, you know, jerky making protein in the world.
Right.
And I wish more people understand. And I think more people will start to get that with, you know, $1,000 a month for families of four for food, you know, and meat being so high. I mean, why not go out and harvest some natural meat and get that doe on the ground and then chase a monster buck or whatever, you know?
I did the math this year. I did the math this year pretty lenient. And from my Kentucky buck, the meat that I got off compared to like what Kroger's price is on meat, and it was very lenient. Like it's definitely more than that. It was about $450 worth of meat.
For sure.
And it's insane. Right.
Yeah.
It's also really lean meat, so it's good.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have a question for you guys too. Since you started and going around, I saw some videos. I watch it quite often, but matter of fact, I've been going to Columbus all the time. I'm driving down 71 and I see all these ag fields everywhere. And I swear it's gotta be one of the fields you launch that Hoyt, like how far the range of the arrow go, you know, and you dodge 45, like it's gotta be one of the fields. I'm like, it gotta be out there somewhere, you know, I'm like where are the Creek Kings running around, you know, they walk around right now. But is it harder for you guys now, like as you get known, is it harder to find more property or is it becoming easier?
It's a mix of both. I wouldn't say we're at the point where we're famous enough to where it's like, we can't show our face in the city because people like are just hounding us. We have had people take pictures of us driving by and send it to us and be like, oh, I see you guys are over here in this city today. And comment on our videos like, oh, these guys are over here hunting by me and so-and-so city. Like, that's so cool. And it's like, they don't really, for them, they're just like, this is such a cool experience. And it's like, to us, dude, we're still just regular dudes. We just love to film, create content and chase these big deer. But for them, it's like this super cool, like almost out of body experience to see that we're like real.
I feel like every hunter, whether or not you make videos or not, like if you kill a big deer and like people are going to talk about it, and not that we've killed big deer enough for people to talk, it's just in general, like since we're in the public eye, like we put ourselves out there for that.
Right.
It's a couple of our landowners, you know, like our strategy isn't really to tell them like, hey, we have this like YouTube channel. It just never comes up really. Cause at the end of the day, like if I think that will actually help us get a foot in the door, then, you know, I might consider it. But at the end of the day, you know, I harvest a big buck off that person's property. The last thing I want them to know is like that and then they tell their friends and then we lose permission there next year. Cause their buddies want to come hunt it. And that's happened to us. Yeah. That happened to us a couple different times. And you know, that those are lessons learned, but we just are very cautious about what we tell people and what we do put out there. Like a lot of times people are, you know, trying to figure out where we're at and little do they know that before we put the video out, we're like trying to throw people off of our scent. You know, if
the deer isn't killed all the time.
We've
done that so many times. We'll put in a clip of something very recognizable that anybody in the area will know, and we're nowhere near that. And people are like, oh dude, why would you show that? I know exactly where
you're at. Like, you drive by, there's like 15 camo trucks in that area.
Yeah,
trolling around, you know.
Yep. I'm like, come on through, bub. anywhere that we post
on deer and people.
We posted a video, you can be sure of it that we are not hunting there.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I think that one of the coolest things about you two guys is how real you are. You're just out there sending it, and that's exactly what we do. I mean, I'm a kid from Kilbuck, Ohio, and grew up with a dream and idea. And you know, last year I got smoked and didn't get my target buck. He smoked me, you know, and I had 12 yards and he stared right up at me. There's nothing I could do. I was frozen.
You're doing it though. Yeah.
It's fun. It's out there. You're out there. You're just doing it. And I like how you're authentic. You know, I think that's really important.
Yeah. And I think that's how we want to come across too. Cause we don't like, trust me, we don't know everything. Like you could ask us questions, but at the end of the day, like we should probably be asking you guys questions. You guys have spent more time in the field than us. And that's something that we want to keep because we're not going to put ourselves out there like we're the best because we obviously aren't. If you've watched any of our videos, we make more mistakes than we are successful. And
I like that.
That's something. Yeah. That's something I feel like is important because it's important to show the whole up and the whole down of every story, because at the end of the day, we're primarily storytellers and we want to share that with everybody. And it's been fun to kind of document that. Like, I would say the biggest blessing from all of this, like sponsors and all that stuff aside, like is just being able to watch those videos again, like 4 years later and laugh at them and see how we've grown and progressed with our following, but also like immortalizing those hunts are like, that's something that I'll be able to watch 20 years from now. And like, that's something that Justin and I will be able to share for a long time and show my kids, which, you know, I will.
Sooner rather than later. Soon. Hey, we're going to be in the hospital, hey, bud. Watch this.
Yeah.
Hey, it's never too early.
Yeah, you guys are so right though. Those Rolodexes, I call them Rolodexes, the hunts of your mind, you know, like going back and watching those videos, like that's what it's about. And it's not always about the kill. And I try to convey that to people, you know, it's about the adventure. You know, there's so many adventures out there. And sometimes, you know, not all the adventures are on the videos, right? I'm sure you guys have things where haven't filmed everything, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we don't put everything out there for sure. We'd probably get canceled.
I get it.
Yeah, I got a question. So, like in Pennsylvania, one of the cities that was looking for some urban deer reduction, I mean, they had some pretty drastic things you had to do this. I mean, you had to go take a class, shoot your bow. You had to like etch your arrows, do all these different things. Any of that stuff take place in any of those places you guys hunt? So that, you know, there could be a chance you hit a branch and go in someone's yard. I mean, you just never know, but they want to know, you know, who's where, who's doing what. And, you know, so those were some of the things that, you know, one of the local places was having people do, because they did want to knock down, because the big thing that they were worried about and they were having a problem was is a huge uptick in ticks and Lyme disease. And they're like, we want to knock this herd way down, you know, but you had to follow this and this and this and this and this. Mm-hmm. It was pretty stringent.
Yeah.
So it's different per city here.
Yeah. It's city per city. None of the cities that we hunt are like that. And even a lot of the cities that I know, there's some that you have to pass a test, quote unquote, and then shoot your bow and make sure you're qualified. I haven't heard of anything in Ohio with having to like mark arrows. It's kind of a smart idea, because I've thought about that. I have a buddy that hunts a city that's like that, where you have to qualify, and I've kind of thought about anybody could be out there doing whatever, because they do it by time slot, like you get this certain area for this 2 weeks or whatever, and I'm like, you kind of be out there doing whatever, and it's like, oh, that's not my arrow or something like that. But it's a smart idea, but it's also like very, very tedious, what I understand. I mean, politicians, everything's going to be tedious.
Personally never we haven't hunted in areas that have required anything other than a permission slip and sometimes they'll have like an acreage limit depending on what it is. Like if it's like a super urban rural area, or not rural, if it's a super like suburban area, sometimes, you know, you can't even hunt neighborhoods because the acreage the acreage limit is way too big, and like you just have to X that area off. But we've never had to like shoot or qualify like that.
Probably should.
Yeah. I personally think it would be a good idea to have some sort of qualifying course for like the city that we're in. But I mean, a lot of times if we go into a new area, that's the first thing that we do before we even get a permission piece. We figure out, what are the rules? Do we have to qualify? Are there forms that need to be filled out? Sometimes we'll call like the police department and we'll ask them like, hey, everything seems to be fine here, but you know, can you guys double check and tell us if this neighborhood is good to go? Or And sometimes they'll tell us, yeah, there's an acreage limit and we didn't find that or something. So it is pretty tedious. It's that extra step that, I mean, I'll be honest with you, most hunters are probably rural hunters and they don't even get like permission slips filled out. Like they just
a handshake.
Yeah. Farmer Joe said it was fine, so I'll be out there tomorrow kind of deal. And that's worked for a lot of people, but for cities, I understand it's probably got to be a little different.
Well, and I get to the day and age, and especially with public eyes on you guys, you know, as well as anybody. I mean, with the pressures on hunting, you got to be careful of how you go forward and what you're doing, and you don't want to get burned and make it wrong. And sometimes you don't realize you're making a misstep. You know, you got to realize, oh, we can't do that. Let's not do that next time, whatever. But I think it's important for people out there to understand, depending where you hunt geographically, there's different rules, you know, different things you jump through, the hoops you need to watch. Right. I know one thing, yeah, Brian mentioned ticks. I don't know if you've been out recently, shed hunting guy, but I haven't found a shed yet this year, but man, the ticks are everywhere this year.
Yep.
Everywhere. They're bad.
Really? We haven't. A lot of our areas that we hunt, they aren't super bad. Every time we go turkey hunting, I'll tell you why, that's a different story.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, my mom actually just got recently diagnosed with Lyme, I think 2 or 3 years ago. So now I'm kind of like on edge. I'm like, hang on. I'm out here like, and when you got a mullet, man, it's tough. That's a lot of hair to comb through to try to find a tick. I'll tell you. I got Zach over there. I'm like, hey, dude, you get this side of my head, I'll get this side.
Well, just get old. You start losing when you get old. That'll be a problem eventually.
I'll tell you what. We went to Kentucky this last season, and that's where the bugs are at. They're not in Ohio. They're all in Kentucky. Holy crap. That was wild.
How was that hunting down there? What's the difference?
Depends on what we're comparing. Summertime, we'll be back down there for velvet. But my gosh, we're gonna figure out something. I mean, we got the permethrin spray. We threw scent out the window, dude. We had bug spray. We were just dousing ourselves in bug spray.
Thermacell, baby.
Thermacell.
Everybody says that.
I was in Newfoundland this past year hunting bear and moose, and it was horrible. Like, literally, they would eat me alive. There, I had to put my hoodie over me. And a thermacell literally saved my life. It worked.
Yeah, I won't hunt early season without a thermacell. There's no way.
Yeah, I never used
the mosquitoes one, but will pick you up, carry you to your stand. Yeah,
the mosquitoes, the chiggers, the ticks,
cottonmouth.
Lessons learned.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, you guys do any spring turkey hunting in Ohio? I saw one video. I thought last year in turkey hunting.
We've turkey hunted the last 2 years, and it has been awful.
they're jerks, aren't they? They're pain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're
wild. I brought my deer management side into it. I had a Jake I could have shot this past year, but I was like, I don't want to shoot a Jake, dude, for my first turkey. And then
he thought we were going to have more opportunities, and we didn't.
So, yeah, I know. After the hunt was over, I got ripped into it. They're like, why didn't you shoot that deer or that turkey?
I didn't say that.
Our buddy did. He was like, dude, it's your first turkey. Who cares? I'm like, yeah, but that's like shooting a button buck, dude. And it's like, I don't have it. I don't got it in me.
You guys have any tips? I mean, we are brand new to turkey hunting.
I'll tell you what.
We're not brand new, but we're just very inexperienced.
For me, I mean, we've had ups and downs in our turkey population. But I mean, it's a lot of scouting. I mean, I get up early, you know, this time of year before the clock changes, and walk my dogs, and I'm walking them through, and I'm listening, I'm pinpointing. They were just gobbling behind my house the other day. And then I go in and I set cameras up where I think they're out by like roosting trees. And then I start formulating plans that way. And sometimes I don't do a whole lot of calling at all. I just let things naturally happen. I don't know. I have a lucky habit of I can go in and sit somewhere and it seems like I'm sitting underneath 3 or 4 or 5 birds all the time.
I'm the opposite. It never cooperated with me. I think the biggest thing I've learned is the absolutely shot placement. It is super tough on turkey. Like, I know this year I picked up the shiny spot. You guys, I'm talking about the wing. There's a shiny spot. The feather is real shiny. And basically what I learned is, you know, shove the arrow through the chest, Texas heart shot in the rear, on the side, go in the shiny spot right above it, right, like visualize the legs as a goalpost and put it right through the center. And but that kill zone is so small on turkey. It's crazy small.
Hmm.
Yeah, we tried it the first time with Zach Brock took his bow, and we said, well, maybe we'll kill one with a shotgun first.
There you go. Up your odds a little bit more.
Yeah.
Makes it easier. So what are your plans? I guess we'll wrap it up here in the next couple minutes, but we probably have about 5 or 10 more minutes left. What's the idea for this coming year? What are you planning, and what do you want to do?
I mean, every year we just strive to kind of just push ourselves to be the best we can. The year before this past year, we kind of set an unreal expectation for us. And we kind of realized that it humbled us that year. I'd say a lot. So for this year, we're going to do our best. Our goal is always 170 inch deer in Ohio. Out of state, that'll kind of change. We do plan on going back to Kentucky for velvet season. Lord help us.
Man, that'd be cool.
But hopefully, I mean, that's what we went down for last year, and then we felt so invested, so we ended up going back down during season, and we actually we killed deer in Kentucky, but didn't kill them in Ohio.
Yeah, so for me, and I'm just talking for myself here, but I mean, Justin and I kind of had this conversation at some point. I remember texting him and just being like, dude, I don't know why, but like this year just wasn't nearly as fun. It didn't seem as fun for me. And I think this is a very pivotal moment in a hunter's like career, so to speak. Cause a lot of people that I've been talking to recently about it, they have all said that like, yeah, I remember going through that phase. And it's kind of like you put so much effort into it because you are so obsessed. And then you come out at the end with nothing and nothing really to show for it. Really, you've learned things and, you know, you do come out the other end, but just not with a trophy buck, right? Like those are the times where it's really hard.
Last year. This guy's over here saying, oh, this year wasn't fun. He killed his PB.
I'm just saying in general, though, like the amount of stress that I had, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that we do have a YouTube channel, and even though it's not like the biggest YouTube channel, like there was still some sort of pressure for me
internal pressure, man. I get it. Yeah.
To produce something. And like, if for not the channel, like, hey, for my wife, hey, I've invested countless hours this summer and nothing to show for it. Right. So, just really feeling the pressure and then like kind of falling out of love with like it all. But then the great thing about that was what pulled me out is kind of what we were talking about is watching some of the raw footage back and just like remembering how much fun each one of those hunts are. And so this year for me and for the channel, we're going to take a step back from maybe trying to kill, you know, these Booner bucks. That's always the goal for sure. But like, I'm going to settle for the 150 if the opportunity arises, and just so I can have fun and really kind of focus a little bit more on the hunting aspect of it, less so the killing aspect of it. And I think that's what's really going to connect with our audience. And that's kind of why people follow us and watch us. Like, yeah, we kill bucks every once in a while, but 99% of our videos are just us kind of goofing off. So that's definitely what's going to be in the future for us this year. And honestly, like, I can't be more excited for it.
That's awesome. I think I give viewers too that, like we said, the real authentic nature of, hey, it's real hunting. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Yeah. You go home, you learn a lesson, you pick yourself back up and do it again. But I understand the pressure. I mean, I think I felt it this year as well because we had managed these farms, you know, all year long and had mineral out and feed out and checking it all the time and all through the summer, you know, and just you get one opportunity. You know, I had one shot the buck I was targeting and I couldn't even draw. I mean, I truly
devastated. Yeah.
And you're just like, I'm frozen, you know? So I feel you, Zach, on that one because it's, it burned me as well. But I'll tell you, I learned a great lesson because it was like, I got to sit back and watch my wife hunt with me. And that was a pretty incredible experience too. On the other end, so I got to watch, you know, watch that happen.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I think a lot of us can relate to that. Like, just getting burnt out. Like you said, if we put so much time, so much effort, it's like a borderline disorder. effort we put into it. Yeah. But we love it. And then you just get burnt out. Like I had that like 2 years ago, man. I just wasn't feeling it. And then this past year has been really good and just back to it. But at the end of the day, you got to make it fun. You got to get back to like the hunting aspect. And I think we can all relate to, you know, having fun and not trying to go after Booner bucks, like people watching your channel and stuff like that. It'll be fine. It's just,
I can promise you we'll chase them, but I just can't promise that I'll be holding one at the end of the video.
They don't get that big for no reason, man. It's hard. It's
Very smart. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on tonight. Justin and Zach also from all of us. Congratulations, Zach, and the little one coming up here.
Yeah, congratulations. Thanks, so Josh, Kevin, awesome. Brian.
Appreciate you guys coming on and wish you the best in the future here this year and have some awesome hunts. But again, get everyone out there. It's episode 3 of the Reinvent the Hunt podcast. Like, subscribe, give us a review. We're on all podcast platforms now and YouTube, as well as the Creek Kings. I want to thank them for being on tonight. Check out their YouTube channel. All the good stuff going on, and come back. We've got episode 4 coming up pretty soon. We've got a giant buck that was shot this past season with Clovis out of Allendale, Ohio. We have him on next week and talk about that monster. So it'll be a really cool story. Thanks, everybody.
Yep.
Thank you.